It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express. And welcome to Cult 65, Revenge of Cult 64. You may notice that the buzz is back. No, we don't know why. I can hear it in my right ear, like a little giggling goblin on my shoulder, like Salacious Crumb. Little perverted bastard. But yeah, I'll try and scrub it out of the audio. We honestly don't know what's going on. We had 2 weeks without it, and for some reason, the wires that were working are now no longer working, and we're not sure why. So anyway, today, I am Mordrigan. I was about to start with the today we are playing blah 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 and realise I've forgotten to do all the other stuff. I'm Mordrigan. I will be your keeper of arcane lore, or the GM, for today. We will be playing Horror on the Orient Express, and this will be the Blood Red Fez, the second session of the Blood Red Fez. Starting with Hardwick, would you care to explain who you are? And we will do you last, Il Porcupino.
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing George Banks, the Cockney criminal.
Extraordinaire.
Absolutely.
He must have the word extraordinaire.
With his natty hat and his other things.
It's not a natty hat, though. It's a stamped-on hat.
Well, he got himself another hat afterwards.
He tried and failed the roll. I checked this today.
Okay, he tried to get another hat after it got stamped on. Got to be looking your best, you know.
How he tip it at ladies and say, m'lady.
Well, he can still do that, it's just got a big footprint in the middle of it. Because he threw it over a fez.
You know.
He threw it over a fez and then tried to stamp it to death.
But it was an evil fez.
It was indeed an evil fez.
It was a very hard fez.
Right, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Henry Terence Smythe, a slightly befuddled gallery owner with some previous experience of horrible, horrible Cthulhu things.
Previous experience that does not help him, incidentally, shoot straight.
Not at all. Well, he's got an eye patch now.
Yes,
that really
is part of his excuse.
I'm Nyx, and I'm playing Captain Roderick Barrington, British military officer.
Who can stab things, punch things, and occasionally shoot them.
Yes, by trying to defend everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And you are playing?
I am Bloodied, and I am playing Dr. Jean-Louis Serroche, who is incredibly French, and a doctor, but most importantly, incredibly French.
Il Porcupino?
I'm Il Porcupino, and I'm playing Dr. Kasim Polat, a Turkish historian.
You have been called, incidentally, by Professor Smith to come visit him at the Oriental Club, which you're running slightly late. Before we do the recap and start actually playing, I believe we've got a tea.
We do. This week, we are reviewing Twining's Camomile.
Don't worry, you don't need to get words right. We're only a podcast.
Twining's Camomile and Spice Apple is apparently warming.
I can see that. My mouth got a bit of a tingle from it.
I didn't, but it's quite pleasant. I've literally only ever used chamomile tea as an antifungal for plants before now. And then, but it works, so okay. That's what I use it for. But yeah, it's quite pleasant. Certainly you can tell there's some spiced apple in there. The chamomile taste is not overpowering it, which is good.
I quite like it.
Mm. It's a pleasant tea.
You supposedly use it as your bedtime tea.
Yes, well. Well, it's the one for sort of after 10 o'clock at night where you don't really want caffeine because it's going to be bedtime soon, but you still want a hot drink. It's lovely for
that's
that.
That's what Rubus is for.
No, that's chamomile and apple tea.
Yeah, but Rubius is nutty red death.
You don't want your red nuts.
There's something very calming and soothing about this one.
Well, chamomile is supposedly a calming tea.
I can feel that. It just sort of feels like I'm in a nice sort of warm fuzzy place. It's wonderful.
Okay.
Finger of innuendo. Please,
finger of innuendo, and please note we do not suggest drugging yourself with chamomile, it seems. Although I suppose, if you want to, we're not going to be able to stop you.
Says you. I'm going to break into their fucking houses and break their arms.
And the Thunderbolt keeps saying I'm the violent one.
Yeah, they don't know us very well at all.
No, they really don't. they suggested on their latest Geeky Topics Roundtable, but please note, you'll be hearing this like 2 months after that Geeky Topic Roundtable came out. That's because we've got a hell of a lead-up time. But they suggested that if they come over to London, which is the first mistake, because we're in Goatswood, sorry, Reading, sorry, Goatswood. They try and beat me down into submission using LARP weapons.
Yeah, but American LARP weapons.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
It's fine, we can just soothe them with tea.
You know how my spear is right next to the door.
Yeah.
No, I love those guys, but that wouldn't work. Handily, Katsushiro knows that wouldn't work.
Also, you now have a paddle.
Oh, I do. I now have the paddle of justice and freedom and whatever and else it was we called it.
Kinky sex.
Justice, freedom, and kinky sex. They're sitting for the win. Anyway.
We've drifted away.
Yeah, we've kind of drifted off point. I'm sure we had a point to begin with.
We're
playing
a game.
Oh, will we? Shit. Who's running it? Oh, wait. Fuck. So anyway, does anybody want to do a recap, or are you just going to blunder around like numpties who don't know what they're doing, like you usually do? I'm just wondering. Oh. Everybody goes quiet.
No, I was waiting for me to finish my sandwich. We were gathered by mutual acquaintance, Professor, I forgot his name now.
Julius.
Professor Smith.
There's a Julius Smith.
There's a Julius Smith, yes. He's the pipe, and
he does have a massive pipe.
And you're not like
and he doesn't like French.
He invited me.
He invited you because he was desperate for a medical man who was in the know. If he could have chosen anyone else, he would have.
Yes, well, fuck him.
Well, he wouldn't expect that of a Frenchie.
but yes, we were gathered to Whitechapel, I believe it was.
Yes.
And asked to come at most haste at this late time of night.
What are you doing?
Examining my dye.
Hardwick's dye is very, very pretty.
Oh, there's those purple ones.
Yeah.
They're so shimmery.
I think I bought
and
those.
Glorious.
We got them at Comic-Con.
Oh, that's cool.
They're my Dark Heresy dice that...
Oh, yeah. The ones that don't like you during Dark Heresy.
Not at the moment, though.
Yeah, heretical dice. Fetch them for the Emperor. Emperor.
Anyway,
But yes, we were gathered there to investigate a mysterious case of a man...
with a hat on.
With a fez.
Stuck to his head.
But the fez wasn't cool.
No.
It was evil Fez.
Yeah, this is an evil Fez. Let's just make that fucking clear.
Which had apparently caused him to... Well, he looked like he was an old man, but was in fact supposed to be in his mid-twenties.
Yeah. He was in his late twenties. He was 28.
Yeah. He was apparently been keeping an eye on a dodgy group for Professor Smith.
For Professor Demir.
Oh, sorry, Professor Demir. Yes, it was a...
He was a friend of Professor Smith.
And so Professor Smith had been asked to try and keep an eye on him and make sure he didn't do anything foolish, like try and, you know...
Put a fez on his head.
Steal the evil fez.
Which is, sadly,
unfortunately,
exactly what he did.
Well, it looks like it might have been, in fact, forced on his head by the evil doers.
Mencap.
Yes.
I believe is the name that you have for him.
Who were,
Yes.
Yes. who wanted to see what the effects of the fairs were.
Okay, hang on. So we were all summoned to a place to investigate a man who put a fez on and aged him.
They were all summoned.
Yes.
You have only just been summoned.
But we'll come to that. Yes, Professor Smith, yes. Well, our ruminations were somewhat interrupted when the gentleman in question died.
With a horrific sound, I should point out.
Yes.
Even more horrific now.
And then promptly came back to life and bit the police, coroner's face off.
Yeah.
I'm having horrible flashbacks to the last episode of The Walking Dead.
I haven't seen it yet.
Please, no spoilers. Yeah,
okay.
Okay. But yeah, basically, yes. So, a desperate fight ensued, not least made difficult by the fact that the candles that were illuminating the room had gone out.
His fez had fallen off when he died.
His fez did fall off when he died.
We tried to destroy the fez, believing it might be linked to this mysterious, horrible attack, except that didn't work, because it turned out the fez was indestructible.
Yeah, they stamped on it, they stabbed it, and they set it on fire.
We tried to set it on fire, it didn't light.
We tried casting it into the fires of Mount Doom.
Well,
we didn't get that far.
Well, sort of. Well, next plan.
That's still three books away.
Yeah, and there's
we've
no fucking eagles.
We've got a lot
fucking
of wandering about to do before.
I'm willing to offer you a train, but there's no fucking eagles.
Can we paint an eagle on the side of the train?
No.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so eventually we were able to dispatch the monster that the unfortunate man had turned into.
It was a rather hideous thing with some kind of tongue.
Long barbed tongue.
Yeah.
And its head was sort of pinched and stretched out. It was fucking horrifying, having seen the illustration. Because the book had an illustration. Well,
yeah,
the print off of the book.
Yeah, the print off of the book. Let's not forget... I have not yet got my books.
Yeah.
Supposedly they are on their way now, but... They are on their way, but as yet I don't have any ETA or anything else other than they have been dispatched from America.
Sorry, dice got lost.
Oh, I escaped from dice syndrome.
Well, you see, it was black, my trousers are black, it was hiding on my trousers.
So, you hid it in your crotch.
No, it hid itself in my crotch.
It exploded forth.
Ejaculated forth, sir, please, use the correct terms. but yes, so, anyway, after that horrifying thing was done, I believe that we were able to find some legible scraps from it. I don't seem to have my book, though.
We found some copies of the translation of the glyphs that were on the fez.
Oh, some of the glyphs, because we tried looking at them, but they were all kind of...
Moving.
Yes. Mm. Yes, and horrible and nasty.
But mostly moving.
Yeah, the moving was the problematic part.
These quotes were rising from the past and dominion over all.
Yay!
I also found some fairy stubs for Prince's Island and New Constantinople that were a month old, and notebook indents for an address in Shoreditch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the plan that Professor Smith seemed to have come up with, did we go there or did we go somewhere else?
You went somewhere else, it's the next morning.
Yes,
we were meeting at the Oriental Club.
Meeting at the Oriental Club, yes, that was it.
Incidentally, old Porcupino, you have just arrived. Please describe yourself to the others.
Okay, I am a reasonably attractive person. I am well-groomed with a small moustache and a receding hairline.
It is a man, by the way.
Man.
Just to clarify, you are a man.
Just to clarify, it is a man.
Yes, I'm a man.
Yeah, but you didn't mention that bit, you just said it straight into it.
Well, that's a much faster.
Oh dear, I've broken necks.
At least I break silently.
Yes, that's true.
Break like the wind. Sorry.
Or not.
No.
So a man with a small moustache just come in?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to say the obvious joke there. It's Hitler.
I'm just going to go with Poirot.
That would be less threatening and much more promising.
I'm probably quite timid, very mild looking, quite pleasant really. There's a nice way about me.
Weirdly, I've now got... never mind. No, that's too weird even for this podcast. No. Anyway, yeah, you turn up and Professor Smith stands up and goes, ah, yes, good, you're here. Right, well, bad stuff's going down. Need some people. Deal with it. Can't go to Turkey myself on account of, well, you know. So, organise getting you all some tickets. Oh, yes, sorry, forgot to tell you. There's an evil Fez. It's already eaten one man. It's in that ham box over there.
I beg your pardon.
There's an evil Fez.
I thought that's what you said.
Already eaten one person. It's in the hat box over there.
Okay.
Let the rest of them fill you in on the plan.
Yes, we have to take it to Constantinople.
We do?
Yes.
Why? What's it for?
So it can be destroyed, ma'am. Can't leave an evil Fez that eats people hanging around the place.
Where did you find the thing?
On a dead man's head. Well, it was originally on his head, then it was on the floor, and there was an urchin stamping on it, but that didn't seem to work.
Oh, it hurt as well.
I can imagine. I was far too busy, you know, illuminating the scene.
And I've ruined my hat.
Yes, well, I'm sure you'll be able to buy a proper hat in Constantinople.
Yes, buy a proper hat.
I know. But yes, so, as I said, Chappy going to meet you on the train. Good man. I can't remember his damn name offhand. Bear with me. Von Hoffler, that's it. Do you have a cult of Porcupino?
No.
In which case, you've got no idea who Von Hoffler is. Suggest you do some research. I'm going to go and tell Mitzi what's going on.
Oh, hi Mitzi. That was
Yes, at the moment you're very, very busy having a building built in Russell Street that's incredibly impregnable.
Probably feeling very, 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 very sorry about, you know, that whole shooting my own brother incident that happened.
Yes, very sorry indeed.
It was necessary.
It was necessary to save the world.
Yes, and he was mad anyway.
He was mad, and a drug fiend. Although,
yeah.
he only stayed a drug fiend for that long because Discordia didn't turn up. Because every session he was gonna get a constitution roll to try and fight off the addiction. he was unable to make it for so long, it was just like, oh no, he's just a drug addict. Reps. But anyway. So yes, I'm going to pop off now, but if you want to do any researching in the Oriental Club, I've told them to give you a free pass for today. Might be worth taking a look into the British Library as well. I read you the telegram from Demir, didn't I?
Oh, I believe I have this here. You give it to me, I think. Does anyone else like it? This one or a different one?
No, the other one. New one.
New one?
The one you sent me yesterday. This morning, actually. Says it's very dangerous. Stop.
What day is today? I don't know.
It would be Blood Red Fairs Handout 3.
Ah.
That one?
No, that's different.
Okay. So, we can look at it.
There it is. Feel free to read it again.
Telegram from Demir to Smith, Monday. Fez is very dangerous. Stop. Impossible to destroy. Stop.
From the top.
Fez is very dangerous. Stop. Impossible to destroy. Stop. On no account, wear it. Stop. Have trusted allies bring it by all speed to Constantinople. Stop. We'll use what knowledge I have to destroy it. Stop. Warn them in no uncertain terms. Their lives may be at peril. Stop. I will meet them at Sirikeki Station. Stop. End message.
Il Porcupino, you're making a strange sound.
Yeah, I'm blinking in and out. I'm Skyping on my Kindle because my computer has no internet at the moment, but...
Okay, well it's stopped now, so...
Yeah.
Weird. Yes, so, worth keeping track of that all.
Hmm.
could have done with that message sooner, I think, considering the dead man and the evil Fez.
Ah, well, the dead man was captured by the chaps in charge of the Fez, and the Fez was jammed on his head, so... Because he rather stupidly tried to steal it from him, even though Professor Demir had told him not to. Unfortunately, he paid for it with his life. Yes, so, are you going to want to do any researches in here?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, I will let them know. I better get myself off to see Mitzi, let her know what's going down. I shall see you all later. I don't think any of you have met Il Porcupino's character.
Probably not.
No.
So maybe you ought to say hello. Well, you know, all go silent, that would do.
What was the name again?
Dr. Kerstin Pollack.
Morning, Professor.
What's up?
I'm reading my own backstory, sorry. I am actually Turkish, so probably recognise the accent.
Yes, and I believe you've got some things in Turkish.
Yeah.
If you bother to show the professor the ticket stubs, they are for a Turkish ferry in Constantinople that serves some of the outer islands.
Oh, wait, who's Worth?
Sorry, what?
Worth?
Professor Worth. Sorry, the British archaeologist.
Who's not being played.
Okay, is it?
Not being played, yeah.
Oh, okay then.
You know Professor Smith, basically. He's brought you in because you're one of those Turkish Johnnies.
I certainly know the language.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what are you all doing?
Well, shall we go and have a look? Although I must say I don't know what we would possibly find on a demon fez.
A demon fez? Ooh, I like that. So,
Well, books and stuff isn't really my kind of thing, really. So
it's interesting what they can turn up sometimes. All sorts of things you wouldn't have thought, but lots of information there.
There's the man who recently summoned Haster.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to do the British Museum, or are you going to do the Oriental Club?
Maybe we should split our
results. Start here.
We can start here.
Okay. Right. If you're going to research the Blood Red Fez here, it's going to take you a full day, and you'll need to make a library use check, followed by either a roll in Arabic, Turkish, or Persian.
I've got a 5 in Turkish.
And I believe the Turkish gentleman can probably do a roll in Turkish.
Right. Okay. I have all those languages. I have Arabic 35, Persian 55, and Turkish 75.
Nice.
English 55. I am the language man.
I would go with Turkish, maybe. Yeah, you probably know Professor Smith because you taught him some of those languages.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, Henry and, what's your character's name again? The Professor. Henry and the Professor are going to stay here and research, but it seems like the rest of you aren't going to be able to find much out about the Fez, because you can't really read the subject matter. Mm. So is there anything you lot want to do while they're spending the day doing their research?
We know that a guy lived in Lambeth. Is it worth looking at where he lived?
There was that address in Shoreditch as well.
You could go
recording
the name.
Yeah, we could go recording.
That's more my kind of style of things.
Okay, well, we've Team Actiony go do that.
Okay, so Team Actiony is going to go and break into two places.
Not break in.
Well, you never know what might happen when we get there.
Also, somebody... all of you make me an int check.
Yeah.
I have
an int of
70.
Bloody.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, hold on. So you said 70?
Yeah.
You fifth that.
All of you, because pretty much everyone made it, remember something about Fezzes in the news last week?
Yeah.
And if you go looking, you find this very easy read.
From the London Times, the Rotherhithe Fez murder, cowardly killing of elderly Fez collector, criminal gang still at large. Last Thursday night, elderly Fez collector, Mr. Joshua DeVore, aged 70, of number 3 Blithering Lane, Rotherhithe, was murdered during what police say was a burglary of his Rotherhithe residence. Described as eccentric but essentially harmless, Mr. DeVore was brutally bashed to death with a blunt instrument and his house ransacked. Mr. DeVore was noted for his collection of fezes from all over the world, as well as fez-related literature and memorabilia. No fezes appeared to be stolen from Mr. DeVore's extensive collection of that particular headwear. A glass case containing examples of fez literature and rare books and manuscripts was overturned and smashed. Police suspect the damage was done in a mad search for money by the perpetrators. Inspector Kendall of Scotland Yard believes it is the work of a local burglar gang terrorising the vicinity. These rogues are getting bolder. It was only a matter of time before someone was done to death. The inspector assured the Times reporter that the gang would be apprehended and feel the full measure of the law. Lied right from a porno. Rotherhithe residents are urged to secure their premises at night and take appropriate precautions towards their persons.
Don't collect fezzes.
Sound information, that is.
Well, they said it was literature. So, maybe it was literature to do with this fez.
I believe, didn't you find the note that mentioned a book in the garret? No, not in the garret, in the place where you find Pook. One of the bits of paper you had next.
Give me any bits of paper.
Well, I thought I'd read them out.
No, I read out everything that I read.
Okay. No, it's okay. I know where you're supposed to find that. All right. So then, Team Actiony, where are you going first? The Shoreditch dress, the Lambeth address, or Rotherhithe?
What's the Lambeth address?
It's where Pook lived.
Yes, Pook lived in
Lambeth. Pook's in Lambeth. There's an address in Shoreditch, and of course, this is Chappie's house.
I see, it's right, Shoreditch.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You're currently the wrong side of town for that, so it will take you a little while. Meanwhile, team book searching!
Yay.
You need to make me... Oh, incidentally, everybody should be rolling their luck.
Oh,
of course. Not you, Eel Porcupino, obviously, because he didn't take part in last week.
Yeah, that's... So again, under. You used any.
Sorry?
Is it under the luck, yeah?
Over.
Oh, bang it.
Nobody gets points this week. Okay, so, team book learning. You need to make me a library use check first.
I have a library use of 60.
You got 74. Do you want to push your luck?
Or use luck?
Yeah, sorry, luck.
Push the roll or use luck.
Do I get another chance?
If you push, yes. But, if you push the roll, you might upset the people who look after the Oriental Club's books by leaving them scattered all over the place. So they might ban you. However, Henry Terence Smythe has passed.
Just.
Henry Terence Smythe now needs to make me a Turkish check.
Henry Terence Smythe is going to fail this one.
Oh, you little face.
Yeah. Am I able to assist him at all?
How much by, though?
By 29.
It's only 29 points of luck.
That's the majority of his luck. He's only got 35.
You could also push the roll.
He could, yeah.
Are you both pushing the roll with some feverish research?
Have we got to go tomorrow or something? Have we got to get this done today?
You're going Wednesday, which is like 2-3 days away. It's Monday today. You're going on Wednesday.
Okay.
It may be worth coming back tomorrow. That's a lot of luck to spend.
Well, you could try pushing your roll because you've got a much better chance of passing. Because I've got like a 1 in 20 chance of passing it, so it could go all go horribly wrong. Whereas if you pushed your roll,
And you could always check out the British Museum if you get thrown out of the Oriental Club.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't. If you spend luck, do you just succeed, or do you roll again?
No, if you spend luck, you just succeed.
Or you can try again.
Or you can try again, but run the risk of making things much worse if you fail.
Okay, I'll try again then.
Okay, you start feverishly pulling books off the shelves and stacking them up and cross-referencing.
Sorry, 76.
Which is a fail by 16. You can spend luck if you want.
But we can get chucked out. That could be cool.
Hello?
If it was only a couple, then I would, but 15 is like half my luck, so
you all get chucked out.
Are we all going to get chucked out anyway? Is it worth me pushing my roll if we're going to get chucked out?
If you're going to get chucked out, you might as well push it.
Alright, I'll try. See if Henry gets himself chucked out on his own board. Ooh.
So you make the library use.
Well,
no, you made the library use.
I could spend 4 luck to get it.
Do it.
I'm doing it. I'm spending 4 luck.
Okay. Professor, you are like yanking books out of the shelf and piling them up and then going and getting more books and yanking them out of the shelves and piling them up. And the librarian's watching you do this, and about 3 in the afternoon they come over and go, "Now then, sir, I think you've got enough books there." And you sort of start arguing with them, and then there's some bailiff chappies, and then you get escorted out. Meanwhile, you have been sitting there feverishly busy-leaning away with your Turkish. By the way, you can take Turkish now.
Yay!
And although you start getting quite a bad headache, you actually manage to pull together some information on the Blood Red Fez, which is BRF number 4.
Yeah.
Please feel free to read it out.
Extracts from the Apocrypha of the Fez. On the history of the Blood Red Fez. The Blood Red Fez was ever an evil thing, made in the name of unspeakable powers. Powers so awful no sane man would ever set down their names. Okay. First the Fez was spoken of in the Ottoman courts around 1550, but some suggest it is older than that, dating back to an ancient Greece. Ancient Greece. It was said to have the power to control men's minds and destinies enthralled to some ancient evil old before time. On rewards. Drinking, bathing in, or simply spilling the blood of a prince while wearing the fez is said by some to bring princely favours of the dark gods, and by others to be the key to immortality. But such dark entities may view their principalities differently to our own. A warning. Pay heed to this warning, that wearing this abomination called the Blood Red Fez will bring calamitous ruin upon one as one renders up one soul and one mind to the unearthly will of the Fez and its terrible masters. Only those most skilled in the ways of the dark arts can hope to survive such a thing, and for them perhaps the price is even more terrible. It is possible to control the Fez and even halt its terrible purpose. Seekers after dark knowledge should consult the book The Whispering Fez.
Mm.
Well, that all sounds rather alarming.
Yeah, it is a bit. Also, in parts, rather familiar.
Yes.
The whole dark gods offering power, that sort of thing. That does sound a little bit like something you've heard before.
Yes.
Right then. The rest of you are heading to Shoreditch. Mm-hmm. Right, now bear with me, because I don't have it. Head off to Shoreditch. It takes you a little while to get across town. I assume you take a cab or some description.
Mm.
Cool. You head over there. Shoreditch is squalid at this time. It is awful. It is horrible. It is unbelievably shitty. It's just like home.
Nice place, this.
Hasn't changed much, has it?
Yeah. You pull up just outside the house, and the guy sort of gets you out of the thing and then hurtles off before anybody can get the legs off his horse. and you're left standing in front of a shabby-looking apartment building.
What are we doing here again? This was the address, I believe, that we found. Is there anything more than that?
It was the address you found on the bit of paper that had been written on with pencil and then torn off. So Bart scribbled over the top to find out what had been on there.
Ah, okay. Is it a terrace or...?
Yeah, it looks like a terrace house, but it looks like it's been split up into lodging rooms, like pretty much everywhere in the East London at the moment. What are you all doing? Or are you just standing in the street? With a silly grin on your face. Come to Shoreditch! Whee!
Well, it's nice here, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when your players go, let's do this thing! No, wait, why did we do that?
Well, we came to reconnoitre, so are we going to try and get in the place?
Well, that doesn't seem to be a good plan. Perhaps that's that. My accents are wandering.
Right then, well, okay.
Bonjour, oui, oui, la baguette.
Why don't the doctor and I try and get in normally? If that fails, you can,
I'll, I'll see if there's a back entrance, maybe.
Yeah, there is a back garden, quite a big fence. Well, quite a big brick wall with glass on the top. So, you could get over by sticking your coat over and then going over it, but you would need to make a climb check. Oh, I've just dropped a bloody note.
Right, okay.
This wouldn't normally be a problem if I had my books, but as these are just separate pieces of paper, it's a colossal issue. People feel get out of order. Although in this case, they have stayed in order.
Hooray!
Yeah, so, you sort of walk up to the door. You actually had the address of one of the particular flats. It was one of the flats on the second floor.
Maybe they better who did this. I don't know how well they like foreigners here.
Mm-hmm. So, you head up to the second floor door that's on the thing. What are you doing? You're standing outside the room.
Can we hear anything from inside it?
Make me listen check.
I can't hear a thing.
Nope.
No, can't hear anything in there.
Oh well. Knocking.
Nothing happens. Are you still considering climbing over the back wall?
Is there anyone about?
Well, it is kind of mid-morning.
Right, okay.
You could probably get over sneakily if you want to, though.
I'll give it a go.
No. Make me a climb check and a stealth check.
Okay.
Racking up the ticks.
Stealth is a pass.
Okay. Also speak.
Climb is a fail.
Okay. You very stealthily scrabble viciously at the wall. Do you wanna push it? Do you wanna spend spend luck? Would it be a lot of luck?
It would be 17 luck.
Ouch. That's a lot of luck to spend.
On this kind of roll, I don't think I'm going to.
Okay. You sort of throw your coat up and start trying to scrabble up, but it's really sharp. You sort of get halfway up and put your elbow over the side and get jabbed and sort of slip back down. You can get your coat off again relatively easily, but you don't really fancy your chances of getting over there without lacerating something, you know, vital, or at least tender.
Oh no, this is, no. Try the front door.
Okay. You go round the front again. Meanwhile, you lot have knocked on the door a couple of times by now. There does not seem to be anybody in.
That's convenient.
Is the door locked?
Yes.
The door, yeah. We probably need, our associate back.
Speak of the devil.
Any luck getting through doors? No answer here.
I, came through the front.
We're getting through this door.
Oh, that door. Oh, here we go.
Okay. Have you got locksmith?
I've got, yeah, locksmith. Oh, yeah, I suppose that would be the best. No.
Pushing? Spending luck?
It would be 28 luck.
You could push. You could really try and jimmy that lock, but if you do try and jimmy that lock and fail, you will jam the lock with a lockpick, probably. Which is going to make it really obvious somebody tried to get in through this door.
Alright, okay. Is this room in the front of the house?
It's sort of the side one.
Right, okay. And to push it, I roll it.
You roll it again?
Roll it again.
You can still spend luck, but if you fail, the aforementioned bad occurrence will badly occur.
That would be bad.
In this case, you will snap off the end of a lockpick in the lock, and whoever tries to open this lock will probably notice there's a lockpick sticking out of my fucking lock. Somebody's tried to pick the lock on my fucking lock.
Alright, let's do it. Oh, give me a minute, this one's a bit stiff.
Is it cheesy?
I pass that.
Okay. You spend a few more minutes sort of jamming stuff in the lock and twisting.
In fact, I think
jamming different things in the lock and twisting. And eventually you sort of put something in the lock and hit it with a hammer. And then there's a click.
Ah, there she goes.
You step into the room, sort of pull the door shut after you. It's a relatively plainish room. A table with a chair. A bed. The bed does look like it was slept in last night. There's some paper on the table. There's a waste paper bin, which is completely empty, which is a bit unusual, because normally people like, unless you've literally just emptied your waste paper bin, you always have a bit of paper in there, just in case you need a bit of paper to light the fire with. There is the remains of the fire in the thing. It looks surprisingly plain, but the, on the desk with the paper, there is quite an expensive looking pen.
spot hidden?
Yeah, let me spot hidden.
Spot now.
Yes, yes.
You have a quick search around the room. In the wardrobe, there's a couple of relatively plain-looking looking suits. They're probably a bit upmarket for this area of town. The paper, again, it looks like somebody was writing on it and used the top layer of paper. So you give it a quick whisk across. It seems like somebody might actually know that trick. Because they obviously started writing something and then like moved on to something else, because you only get like the top part of the, it's like they've slid a bit of card underneath the first one but have missed the top of it slightly. So you actually see a sort of address at the top. So Hotel Maurice on the Seine. And it starts, Dear Mencap, in regards to the issue you mentioned, I will be glad to take a look, and then it stops. If you check the bottom of the pile of paper, there is like a square of leather, but there's no indentations on it.
Are there any personal effects?
There's the suit, the pen.
Is it the pen like monogrammed or anything like that?
Yes, BB. Didn't really massive bells to you.
No.
But anyway, it's a monogram pen BB. It doesn't seem to be very much in the way of other personal effects. You a vague criminal, aren't you?
Don't know what you mean.
Make me an intelligence check, but please note you'll want to get hard or lower.
Okay. I get not quite a half.
Look.
Oh, no. Actually, it's only 5.
Okay. You're fairly... This looks like the sort of place somebody who had lots of places to hole up around the city would have.
Right.
It's like a sort of one-night safe room you can go to.
If I could only afford that.
This person... Well, yeah. Which is also an important point. This is that it actually is going to be costing them money because they're going to be keeping like several rooms rented.
I'm assuming the suit in the wardrobe is quite nice.
The two suits in the wardrobe are all right.
Okay.
They're not like so expensive. You go, that man's wearing an expensive suit, but they're also not so poor that you might go, "Oh, look at that plebe." They're nondescript.
Okay.
Is the important thing about them.
Sorry, I'm beeping because I've had to plug myself in.
Oh my.
Okay then. So anyway, what the rest of you doing? Team action.
Well, apart from the,
poke around the ashes in the fireplace.
Fairly nice soups. There's not a lot here, is there?
No.
No, it looks like it's cold.
Alright, no, he didn't burn anything with me writing.
No, seems not.
He's not stupid.
He's got a square of leather for writing on, so nobody can use the pencil test. So, admittedly, he's not perfect at using it, but at the same time, it shows he's got some mouse. Which is a good word, mouse. We're back to being quiet again.
Something a mouse. Can we be a mouse with mouse?
He isn't a mouse. He doesn't. He isn't a mouse with mouse.
In a house.
It's not a house, it's a flat. But anyway.
So he'd be a cat.
God.
Sorry, couldn't resist. Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else.
Okay, there's a monster. No, anyway.
Are we moving on to the next address, then?
Probably.
Yeah.
Which one is the next
one? Which is the nearest?
They're both kind of equidistant. Rotherhithe and Lambeth are about the same place, aren't they?
Yeah, roughly. South of the river.
Yep. Where are you going to?
Let's go to Rotherhithe.
Okay. Rotherhithe. Yeah, it doesn't take you that long to get there from where you are at the moment. I gave you the newspaper thing, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. The house is a one-bedroom cottage. There's a constable sort of stood out front, sort of guarding it. He's literally standing on the front of the road, sort of going,
Is there any way down?
Yeah. If you want to wander around the back, you can probably, stealth in around the back. Of course, the problem is, not certain how good at stealth those two are.
Yeah.
How good at stealth are you both?
Ha 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 ha, base 20.
Incidentally, you should have ticked locksmith if you haven't.
No, we could possibly stand here and act as distractions if anything might happen to you.
Yeah,
because
you
are not going to be stealthy.
You, distract the,
The constable. Right, are you distracting him in any particular way, or you're just generally engaging him in conversation?
You're just generally engaging him in conversation.
Well, yes.
Did you see the cricket? Did you see that shameful display yesterday? What was Wenger thinking? Well, the problem with Arsenal is they always try and walk it in. But anyway, I'm not even going to make a vague attempt at sports talk. You chat to the constable. Please feel free to make me a stealth check with a bonus die.
We probably mock you.
Yeah.
It's
all in a good cause.
Yeah, the 23. Well, let's go for the
23. Okay. So that gets you round the back. And oddly enough, the door is locked, so... Guess what else you're going to be doing? You don't get a bonus dice on this.
Ouch. Oh, that's a fail.
Is it a fail by little enough that you could lock it? Or is it a,
22.
I'm going to have to try and jam through
I'm
this?
I'm going to have to jam.
Okay. So you stand there.
I hate these locks sometimes. that's only slightly better than before.
Is it slightly better than before enough to use luck for?
No, it's still 20-ish.
And you've broken a lockpick in the lock.
Yeah.
You're not getting in secretly. Yeah. Well, you know why I'm standing here, right? Yeah, the fuzzy man, he got himself all stabbed up. It's fucking terrible.
Terrible, yes.
Yeah.
Awful state of affairs.
Yeah, it's awful.
You've been here since it happened, then?
Yeah. Round the back of your head. Fuck! Damn it, won't come out! We're doing it in shifts, obviously. They think there might still be clues inside, but to be perfectly honest, it's just a bloody mess.
Went through it rather viciously, did they?
Oh, well, they turned the place over looking for money after they'd stabbed the old boy. pointless, really. I don't think you'd have put up much of a fight. You might as well have just gone, ooh, give us your store, or we'll beat you. And he'd still be alive, and they wouldn't hang when we catch him. But yeah, it's just, it's a bit rubbish. But yeah, it's very boring standing here. And you always get a few coming up and go, ooh, can we take a look inside? But you know what, that's quite lucrative, if you know what I mean. People like to look at a murder scene.
Yes, quite a popular pastime indeed.
Yeah,
a lot of people come up to you then?
Only a couple, mostly people from round here. Mm. One of them went in and come out with a book he'd supposedly lent the old boy. The latest Conan Doyle, you know. I like a bit of the old Sherlock Holmes. Although I don't rightly hold with him spending all that time with that doctor. They go in, they bring me a few bob and go in and have a look around.
Mm. I see.
You get the impression he thinks you're one of that sort of persons.
I might just get my wallet out.
At which point you come round from the back going, fucked it up!
Can I try a window? Just to make sure.
You can. Go on then. Make me a locksmith check. My arms! They've turned into noodles! See, I whited it out there. I don't know how I managed that.
I hate my profession sometimes.
You flail vaguely at a window. It doesn't spring open. You basically just walk up to the window, slide a knife in the crack, and then go, ah!
Why did I get up?
And do the waggly hands. The waggly hands of death. But the lock doesn't open, so you give it up as a bad lock.
Yeah.
Do you want to look inside?
Some sort of arrangement.
Well, you see, I shouldn't really let too many people in. It's only if only the worthy people, like possibly yourself and so on. You've got your wallet out, so you can have a bonus to your fast talk.
Fast talk.
Yeah.
I couldn't use persuade.
No, I'll allow it.
When you say a bonus.
Bonus die. So you roll 2 10s dice and take the lowest.
Yes, I pass my persuade.
He takes a 10 bob note off you and then goes, now don't let anybody know I'll let you in here. And he opens the door. You come round the corner and the policeman is showing them into the house. You can't see the look on Hardwick's face, but it is amazing. Amazing. The great heat. But anyway, yeah, can you make me 2 spot hidden? Actually no, just 1 spot hidden. It's alright. Unless you're fingertip searching the room. It's covered in fezzes, they're all over the place. There's a smashed cabinet.
Don't put any on your
head. The dead body was found in the study and there's still a massive blood stain on the floor in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got a half.
Excellent. In which case, you find 2 things. You're just sort of wandering around. The policeman goes back outside where you have a wander around. And you find that there's something, there's a letter on the desk and also a ledger. The letter is from a Mr. Leeds in Pera, Constantinople, offering £100 sterling for the book The Whispering Fez, which he understands has recently come into Mr. DeVore's possession. No envelope or address can be found, and the letter is from 2 weeks ago. Do you have accounting?
No. Do you have accounting? Can I point it at you? No.
Well, if you want, you can try and steal the ledger.
Would that be sleight of handing?
Yes, probably.
Alright, let's give that a go.
Okay. Go on then.
Could I try harder at sleight of handling this ledger?
Yes.
That was horrifically known. Oh yes, I got a 0-1 that time.
Yeah, you slide the ledger into your house.
My house?
breaking it into your house. Sorry, I was reading the notes on the ledger and trying to speak at the same time.
I have my house with me.
You're standing in the cottage, but somehow you slide the ledger into your house, the other side
of
town.
That's a pretty good sleight of hand.
That is an amazing sleight of handing trick, but at the same time, no you don't. You slide it into your jacket, and keep it. Having seen the note on the whispering fez, you do take a quick look round, given that you know that the fez was whispering. You can't seem to see any book on the whispering fez in the house. That was interesting. What was that? Fell over. Oh, was it the power supply? That doesn't matter. Anyway, I've got so much editing to do. So anyway, yeah, you've got the ledger, and when you can get it to somebody who actually like understands accounts, maybe you'll be able to have a look at it.
Excellent.
Other than that, and the massive bloodstain, you can't really see anything else out of the ordinary here.
Right, well in that case, we shall pop up to the next address.
It was good in there, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Big bloodstain. Mm. Not that I condone murder for, like, simple titillation.
No.
But if there's gonna be these murders, you might as well make them bob out of it. I assume you then set off for Lambeth.
Yes.
Right.
Victoria,
London. Yeah, pretty much. Incidentally, at this point, this is when you lot start going a bit funny and start dragging books out all over the place, and you start concentrating. You push the roll, so you were concentrating until you nearly made your brain squirt out through your ears.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, it's a silly line.
You head over to the Lambeth flat. The flat is one of eight in a narrow building. Joshua Griggs, the caretaker, will allow you to search the room, but there is a bit of a catch.
Well, you see, Mr. Pook was not up to date with his arrears, and I'm afraid to say that he does have an account outstanding of some 5 English pounds. I hate to bring this up, but it would be, well, beholden to me to make sure that you paid his bills if you are going to be checking his belongings and or removing anything from the building, which we might pawn to make up for his deficit.
Just having a credit rating of 70 means I can afford this.
Oh God, yeah.
I will hand this over.
It's like, 5 quid. Why didn't you ask for 50? I could have given you that too. Thank you. He will unlock the door and let you in. You can have a look around as much as you like. Right. Do you want to do me, spot hidden checks again?
In that case, I will push my luck by 1 and make it.
Okay. It takes you a little while, but you do actually manage to find the journal of Matthew Pook, which is this handout here, Redway Fairs, handout 6. We have a very long table here.
Well, that states what his name. Excerpts from the journal of Matthew Pook. Excerpt 1. Menkaup has a powerful influence on the gullible. He carries the blood-red fez that Professor Demir described in a nondescript hatbox of dirty brown. Neither he nor his minions seem willing to touch it. Excerpt 2. My researchers at the British Museum Library called me away from time to time, but my regular checks on Menkaup and his minions reveal things are unchanged. They are staking out a house in 3 Blithering Lane in Rotherhill, Hyde. I have asked around and learned a fez collector lives there. Professor Demir says I should be cautious, but I easily outwitted the Claude's Menkaup has garden place. I am confident none saw me. Excerpt 3. Menkaup plans to depart soon on the Orient Express back to Constantinople. I saw him purchase tickets for he and his followers, though could not tell when they intend to travel. There seems to be something else he wants before he can leave London. It could not be the fares, since he came to London with it. Excerpt 4. I have decided to steal the fares from under Menkaup's nose.
While he is busy in Rotherhide, I shall break into his room and steal the blood red fez itself. If this is my prize, I can speed back to Constantinople and hand it over to Professor Demir. Imagine the look on his face. This is what we found in the lava vats.
Mr. Pook! It turns out the Rotherhide house was resoundingly trashed, but they stole the ledger.
Ah, right.
Because they don't have accounting.
No, I stole the ledger.
All right.
It's entirely possible that the evil Turks may have stolen a book.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can I assume, make my life easier, you all gather back together in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you do not do this in the Oriental Front.
Because someone got thrown out.
As your members have been thrown out for messing about with the books. So you're
right,
all
either.
In a chop house on Little Great Hampton Street. Having seen what chop houses entail, you will all be stuffed so full of meat. Packed full of meat. But anyway, off you go.
Can I just do a look round to see if anyone, like maybe Turkish persuasion, might be following
and/or sick of? Make me a spot.
Apart from the one that was supposed to be with us. Spot. I just make that.
Okay. Nope, can't see anyone. Certainly, nobody in affairs is following you about.
Okay.
And there's no monsters, neither.
And there's no fezes floating of their own free will.
No.
And there's no hat boxes.
No, you've got the hat box. Or rather, you've got the hat box.
I do?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you
do.
We
have to take it with us.
Oh gosh, right. I see.
Well, either you have it, or you've already lost it. Which I wouldn't be surprised if Henry Terrence Smiley turned around and went, hat box?
What?
Shit. What yeah, hat box? Something.
It's all that Turkish, you see. It does things to your brain, I think, maybe. Does it?
You probably shouldn't wear it.
So what happened at the Oriental Club? Why are we meeting here? Did you not find anything?
We found some things. It just took a lot of books to do so.
What do you mean?
Well, they're really quite fussy about how you research in their library.
You got kicked out, didn't you?
They don't like passionate people, clearly.
Right.
Wait a second, that makes it sound like the professor was thrown out for doing inappropriate things to
the
books. Which technically is exactly what happened.
Oh, paper cut! Paper cut!
Yeah. Actually, having sliced my finger open with a knife. Yeah, paper cut would hurt. luckily, I've got a fingernail which stopped the knife.
Hooray!
Because it was a knife I've sharpened and therefore it's incredibly sharp.
I bought knives from Poundland.
Woo!
Hooray!
They're basically tin foil.
Having had a paper cut off aluminium foil before. Oh, that was so painful. It was unbelievably painful. Oh, it makes me cringe just thinking about it. It was on the same fucking finger as well. It was almost in the same place. But anyway, we're getting away from the point. Please, why don't you give each other information?
So, we found a few things about the history and, well, don't bathe in the blood of a prince while wearing it or drink it or spill it either.
I don't know about you lot, but I'm not really acquainted with many princes.
unless you want some of the favours of dark gods, we don't want. Then there was a warning as well, dark arts and all that.
It's a gloriously Henry Terrence Smythe explanation, but it's not anywhere near even being vaguely descriptive.
Have you, had a few, drinks today, if I'm in.
Well, you see, this bit here, you see, it, said, pay heed to this warning, wearing this abomination called the Blood Red Fez. It will bring a ruin, as you will render up your soul and mind to
to the Fez and its terrible masters. Unless you're very skilled with the dark arts, which we're not. If you do want to seek dark knowledge, there's a book called The Whispering Fez, it mentions, which could help control and even halt its terrible purpose, possibly.
Ooh. Yes, I believe the Whispering Fez book was stolen from Rotherhide.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
We don't have a ledger, though.
Right.
I don't know if are you any good at accounting?
Can I take a look?
Yes, feel free to help you.
Have you got accounting? And if so, make me a roll.
He doesn't have that good.
You could give yourself a migraine.
Lots of numbers. Too many numbers.
Yeah, okay. I'll try it.
Full of numbers.
Let's see. No. Yes, he passes.
Well done. You, for the second time in one day, squinting really hard and concentrating allows you to...
I'm going to get a migraine anyway, isn't it?
No.
Oh, one eye. All that work with one eye.
God, yeah. Hard life for a Henry.
Believe me. When I get mine, I do end up working with just one eye. I actually end up having to put one hand over my eye so I don't have my brains explode.
At least you can see when I get a migraine. I can't focus. Like, inside of my eyes not going blind. Maybe you focus, you can't see.
The really annoying thing is I don't get any of the weird visual effects with migraine. All I get is the horrific pain and the photosensitivity.
It could be worse. You could have your first clue that you're having a migraine by a strange smell and you're going, what is that smell, for about half an hour before you suddenly get a blinding headache.
That is unusual. I do get the euphoria when it starts going off. The Whispering Fez was part of a job lot from an auction house and was valued at £25 for its antiquity and rarity. I think your earphones came out again, El Pocopino.
I've talked to you a couple of times, fine.
But anyway, you will remember, however, that he was offered £100 for this very same book by somebody called Leeds from Constantinople.
Sounds like he's just willing to pay over the odds for it.
Definitely seems so.
Possibly for said dark arting?
Yes, these people in the dark arts, they're...
Sounds like they've got rather, a lot of money.
Rather extreme, in my experience. At any rate, rather extreme. Right.
It sounds like they're all going to Constantinople, doesn't it?
Yes.
Or from,
yes.
Or to, or...
Via Paris? There was the start of the litter.
Oh, that hotel on the...
On the Seine.
Yeah.
With some letter... What letter is this?
Right, in the Shoreditch place, where we found this... start of the letter, saying, dear Mincap, in regards to your issue, the address was the hotel on the Seine.
Ah, we've got Il Porcupino back. Don't worry, I'll edit all that crap out.
I'm kind of here.
Well then.
I can't see you at all, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to have to go with that for the time being. Okay then, people, what are you doing?
I don't know, what did I miss?
Nothing. We stopped and waited to get you back.
Okay.
And silence ensues. You were plotting what to do next.
It sounds like we're all going to Constantinople.
Did you need to look in the British Museum library first or not?
What do you reckon, Professor? British Museum?
I think they I don't know, is it worth having a look to see if we can find a copy of this red Fez book?
We can see. There are a lot of strange books that we can get access. That's always the tricky bit. Finding the right book.
We
have a lot.
Okay. So what is the rest of you doing the next day when Team Book Learning is going to go and do book learning?
Well, I don't have libraries, so the problem is are there going to be any books in a language that I speak?
Yeah.
There might be in the British Library.
Oh, yeah,
well,
thinking.
You could also research the various people involved.
True.
Anybody got a cult?
Yes.
A little bit.
Want to make
no.
a roll?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Actually pass that.
In which case, you have actually heard of both Professor Demir and this Baron von Hoffler. Demir is trained as an anthropologist in Turkey, but also in Greece and London. He has an interest in magical belief and has written extensively on the subject of cults and outre religions. He's well respected in his field. He's a Muslim, and is married with two sons and a daughter. He's in his mid-50s. The Baron von Hoffler is a mysterious baron. He's a noted occultist, but is also a wealthy and powerful man in his native Austria, being part of the Austrian nobility. He does not publish, but is known for readily helping those who are interested in the area of the occult, including hosting them at his estate outside of Vienna and providing access to his private library. He also has a reputation for generosity and often underwrites the activities of other scholars through his vast wealth, which probably explains why he's sending you a load of cash to get the fares to Constantinople. Well then, so, the next day then, your current plan is team book learnings, we'll go and have a look for more books. Anybody doing anything else? Remember your train is tentatively booked for the day after.
I will probably join them because I have a decent library use. So.
Okay.
What do we need in the way of supplies then?
Anything you have.
Well, obviously that's on the list because I ruined the other one. Anything else we need to acquire before we go?
I can think of.
Probably make sure I've got enough ammunition for the gun I can't shoot. But I don't have much got to begin with.
Okay. We can go on a shopping trip, that's easy enough to do.
Just wondering, do I remember anything from Lothros in Turkey? Are there any particular clothes we'd recommend for the pilot?
Yes, you can go shopping for light-ish clothes. Remember
well,
though...
I can make suggestions because I was going to go to the library.
But... Yeah, remember though, it is like winter, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. You make some suggestions to the people on Team Actiony not going thingy and in fact going shopping. So Team Actiony goes down to the outfitters. Are you paying for a new hat?
That would be aimed at...
No.
No. He's trying to persuade me to buy him a new hat.
Well, there's a hat on the list, so you either have to pay for the hat, or he's going to steal it. Probably have to push the roll, and end up jamming a lockpick in it.
You jam a lockpick in someone's ear as you try and steal their hat.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway...
I really was safer in the library, thank goodness.
Are you going to buy him a hat?
For the sake of not ending it with one party in prison, yes.
Okay.
The hat of your choice.
You get a nice hat?
Oh, this don't feel right. Like, no paying money for it.
You're not paying money for it. Well, tell someone else to.
Anyone paying money for it.
It's an hat. You don't pay money for that. You get them off Chummer's heads.
Thank you.
Ooh, that's good.
Very natty, don't you think?
Yes. Those of you on Team Book Learning, make me a Book Learning roll.
No. Oh, I roll for... you got 72.
Anybody make it?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to try getting chucked out of here as well?
Why
up
not?
To you.
We're off to Turkey in a bit. It doesn't matter, does it?
It depends on if they remember your faces for when you come back.
Yeah.
And if we ever do any more prequels, Henry Terence Smythe won't be able to go into the British Library because they'll have him down as that chap with the book throwing.
He can think still going to the Oriental Club though, because he passed that one.
Okay, so all of his researches have to be done in the Oriental Club, and all of the professor's researches have to be done in the British Library. Because you're known as the book chucker of the British Library, and he did unspeakable things to the Oriental Library.
Yay! And they're pleased about it.
The books certainly are. They haven't gotten off in so long.
Because they never get taken out.
Yeah.
So are you deciding to...
are you pushing it?
Okay. Yeah, you don't manage to find anything extra. Sorry, I'm buzzing again. I assume once you've gone shopping, you get, like, trunks and clothing and, like, a hat.
Stop the moustache wax.
Oh, yes, moustache wax is very important. Moustache wax.
Well, just try to do wax to perfection.
Ah, yeah, make them blaze. But anyway, that was a very quiet session. The editing for this is
good. They should go to you, sir, are a big crab.
Crabs cannot be nurses. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go and find Steve Coogan's Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible, then watch them. You can come back and thank us after you've done so.
Well, except they watch the Voodoo Feet of Death.
Voodoo Feet of Death and The Frightening are both not very good. Lesbian Vampire Lovers of Lust and... Lesbian Vampire Lovers of Lust is sort of mediocre. Revenge of the Blood of the Lizard of Doom, A Frenzy of Tongues, and...
Scream, Satan, Scream
are fucking excellent. Yeah. But anyway, you come here for the role-playing, you stay for the random asides when we can't concentrate for more than 2 minutes.
Shiny!
So anyway, what are you doing on your last night in London? Because you get the train tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Fucking a prostitute?
What?
I just threw that out there at random because no one was saying anything.
Make me a constitution check.
Okay.
Just...
Wow.
It's Victorian London!
And your friend.
And I'm French. No.
Okay.
Oh, you're... I've got a venereal disease, haven't
itchy.
I? No. I'm a physician, I can treat it, it's fine.
You do know that the treatment currently is mercury, right?
No.
It's fine, we're having
an
insanity anyway.
Oh, my God.
I'll just go and have a drink, thanks.
Well, I never.
Seems a lot safer to me.
What have I done?
I'll just check over the,
stuff.
Make sure the book collection is all good and everything's fine.
Oh yeah, Mitzi's got that in hand.
Good.
She hasn't let the professor anywhere near it.
Make sure that, you know, Mitzi's fine, everything's under control. It's alright, it's not going to go.
She gets really cross with you when you start trying to make sure that she's alright.
Wonderful.
At one point she brandishes a gun.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I will take the hint.
Yeah, so... trying to work out what the order of things to happen is. Okay, you wake up bright and early the next morning and have your breakfast. Smith drops by and hands you over the money that the Baron has wired you all. It's a fuck ton, possibly even a metric fuck ton. He also gives you the travel visas and tickets for the Orient Express. And in your case, a passport that's a real one.
I did have a flashback a few minutes ago when we went to the Mafia in the other game to get a passport. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I don't remember that, but I how did that go?
God. Yes. Oh, we all went to the docked because you couldn't get your own passports because you've left them in your own houses and you didn't want to be travelling under your own names. So you went to the mafia.
Who else are we going to go to?
To get passports.
You had to go to the people that the journalists had made enemies of. Because that was a great plan.
Yes, because they were the only ones that you knew did dodgy stuff with passports. Oh wow. I'd forgotten that bit. I forget all the campaigns that I run almost instantly because my players keep me guessing constantly. But yeah, so you are heading towards the train. You get on at Victoria at 10 in the morning and it's a very pleasant journey out of the city and through the countryside via Kent to Dover, which is where, for some of you, it becomes much less pleasant because you're heading to France. No, because you catch a ferry. Who hasn't been on a boat before? Make me a constitution check. Everybody else is fine. The street urchin from London, on the other hand...
I might be needing a new hat.
No, your hat will be fine. Might be needing a new suit.
Yes, I will be.
You're not very well. It's a flat bowling ground trip over, and yet the urchin spends the entire time with his hat clinched to his head, hanging over the side. You get to Calais, 1:40, at which point you are moved across onto another train to head to Chalons-sur-Marne. Are you doing anything on your travels while you're going? I'm going to have to run a truncate silence on this one. But anyway.
Trying to find a stop of mercury.
Oh, you've got one.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah. Brush up on my freeze book. I have a Turkish phrase book.
Okay.
Good.
You read that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any interesting other
Did
passages?
You tick your Turkish, by the way, earlier? Yeah, good. Don't know. Make me a spot hidden.
Yes, I will half that.
Right. Let's see. There is a very Scottish woman. For those of you in the know, you know Sue White from Green Ring? She's that level of Scottish.
Is she also that level of insane?
She keeps going on about how God wants women to have the vote.
Yes.
there's also a sort of plainish looking chap. Who's actually been on the train with you, and the ferry with you since Victoria?
I was out of curiosity, where have we put the hat box?
That's a good question.
Can we have put it inside another container so it's not obvious we're carrying a hat box around?
You could put it in the giant trunk.
Lock the giant trunk securely?
And lock the hat box. If you really wanted to make it secure, you could have him try and break into it and jam a lock pick in there.
And it's never coming out again.
Oh, yeah. No, anyway. yeah, so you get to Calais, Chalons, and you actually get to dine on that train. It's quite pleasant. It's not up to proper Oriental Express standards, but it's getting really nice. It's, you travel through the night, and you're starting to feel a bit fatigued by the time you actually get to Chalons-sur-Marne. Because the Orient Express actually leaves Paris at 7 at night, but you're catching up with them 3 hours further down the line. You sort of get there and you come off one platform, and on the other platform is the Orient Express, a.k.a. the Blue Train. And there's a vast fucking number of porters just standing there waiting for your train to come in. The moment your train comes in, they swarm over the thing and everybody's luggage is taken out and people are led here and there and everywhere. And this chap comes up to you, he's sort of very thin, quite darkish hair, sort of wavy, quite good looking. Little mustache. He comes up and goes, "Hello, Eddie's here. How may I help you? Who are you, please? I need to get you to your rooms."
Dr. Soros, these are my travel companions.
Indeed, Dr. Soros, yes. Ah, Frenchman, yes, I am from Belgium myself.
Ah.
So, now, I believe you are all staying with us until the Constantinople, yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, if you would just please follow Henry, the potters, they have your equipment and boxes. And my God, that is a very large trunk. Now, if you will come with me...
Mm-hmm.
Can I follow where our trunk goes?
Yep.
Or at least try to.
Oh, I hate that thing. Yeah, so... Please, if you will follow me, I will take you to your places. Actually, you find it a bit difficult because you try and get behind the porters carrying your luggage, but the porters seem to be constantly trying to make sure they're just a step behind you. So for a little while, you lead them on a bit of a slip in a moment. you follow along. He moves without seeming to move, but he does so very quickly. He keeps his hands sort of up at almost shoulder height. And sort of, yes, it is like the T-Rex's arms of doom. But he holds his hands sort of almost in a double okay symbol as he goes. And
he's a very positive T-Rex.
Yeah, his shoulders move a great deal, but he sort of just moves without seeming to move. Pretty much.
Like an incredibly effeminate man. Okay.
Now, obviously this is your first time travelling on the Orient Express. Well, now, I should tell you, you will be sleeping in double compartments. I hope that is okay. We have three double compartments for you. One of you will be staying with another person whose name I have somewhere in this bloody thing, if only I had my books. You will be staying with the man who is called a name. He is called... I have taken that page out of the notes because I needed to give it to players. He is called... But anyway, you will be sleeping with this man. No, I said that around midnight. In English, I would say... You will be sleeping in with this man, yes? No?
We're bunking down together.
Yes, you are bunking together. It is a double compartment, there will be plenty of space for you both to bunk in there. He doesn't get the joke. Okay, so, Emmy will show you in. Now... It is important to know there is a saloon car, so you can go to the saloon, and there is drinks and food. Obviously, it's only the nibbles, little nibbles. Ooh, my God.
Boom.
You enjoyed that, you will be bonking again, didn't you?
Yes, I always enjoy a good bonk. Oh. Oh dear. I am such a child. Says you.
Oh dear. I will deal with that in a bit. So anyway, there is the strong car. There is also the tiny car, which we give the meals.
Sorry, the what?
The strong car. And the dining car.
Oh, dining.
Yes, the tiny car.
Sorry, I thought you said tiny.
No, it is quite large, actually. It is a very long, large carriage with many seats. You can sit in it. So we do breakfast at 9, and then there is a lunch, and we serve drinks in the afternoon, and then there is an evening meal, and you may choose from your menus. And then, of course, obviously, you return to your bunks and... sleep in the evening. Now, if you will please follow me. He jounces down. All of your cases are following you. Now, he takes you into the first sleeping sleeping carriage. And he takes you to the first compartment. Okay, this is the twin berth compartment for two of you. I do not know which two of you are bonking in here.
I will claim this one.
Okay, so it is Dr. Sorosha. It does not matter to any, and it does not mind, but you will find it cold if you do not decide when you end up sleeping out here in the corridor. I can bring you blankets, but I think you will be more comfortable if one of you takes the other bunk.
I'll have a go with the doctor then.
Okay, so you won't bunk with the doctor. He flounces down to the next compartment.
I'm sorry, Dr.
Turkey!
I know what you like to do in the evenings.
So then, we are in the next compartment. This is again for two people. Which two people will you be putting in this place?
I suppose I could go in that one, perhaps.
Ah, yes, the gentleman who is... Terence Smythe?
Yes.
Henry Terence Knight. Okay, Henry Terence Knight will bonk in here. Who else is bonking with Henry Terence Knight? I have wrecked my players with a single accent. This man needs to reappear simply for his effect on the players. Okay, so who else bonks with Henry Terence Knight?
Professor, would you like to stay here and I'll be with the stranger? Was that a yes then, Professor?
Yes.
Okay, so the Professor, he bonk with Henry and Jared Swan, and you bonk with the stranger. He leads you to the other compartment, opens the door, and there's a chap who I can't describe to you sat in there. Hello, I am Generic Man. Okay, so if you need anything, in your box there is two little wire, you ring the wire, and Henry will appear and deal with all of your problems and any of your needs. Okay, all of your luggage is now to be brought in. Who has the giant trunk?
That would be me.
Okay. Yes, in with the gentleman. Yes, and that to there, and that's to there, and it takes about 2 minutes to get all of your massive luggage in. Okay, so if you need any help, any is here for you, just ring the bell, I will come and solve all your problems. Okay, sleep well, and I hope you enjoy your bonks. And then he leaves.
Cheers!
Oh. I like that guy.
You just like the bonking.
I do thoroughly enjoy the bonking.
Cthulhu's meant to be a serious game, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And yet, just because of this man's accent, you are all...
Yeah.
So, it sets off. Right, Are you going to sleep? Are you going to the salon car? What? About 5 minutes after you're all on and into your rooms, the actual train sets off. So you're on your way.
I will be catching up and sleep.
Okay. Anybody else?
So we've got the trunk.
Yeah.
Are we keeping someone with it all the time, or?
Probably an idea.
Because you two are bonking together.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we keep it in eyesight while we do it.
Okay, good. Are you leaving the hat box in the trunk at all times?
That would seem like an idea.
Who has the key?
Question.
Perhaps you keep the person with the keys near the hat box.
Perhaps we could leave the keys with the other one.
That's a good idea.
Or actually not
a different person.
Or not leave them in the room.
Yeah, with a different person.
Yeah, but someone that doesn't sleep in that room.
Yeah.
So let's have Henry have the keys.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're not in a room with a stranger.
It's true.
Okay, so the trunk and the hat box are in with the street urchin, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The keys are with Henry Terence Smythe and the professor. Mm-hmm. And you're in with Mr. Generic.
Yeah.
That's Bart, Bartleby, Bart, the bastard Bart there ever was. Right, so is anybody doing anything else other than going to sleep?
I might take a wander down the train.
Okay.
Go up at the finery.
Are you going to have a look at the salon, or are you just listening at everybody's doors and gently trying their bunk doors?
No. I shall go down to the saloon.
Okay.
See what's happening there.
You sort of wander down to the saloon car and just take a quick glance in.
I'm assuming everyone else is rather more poshly dressed than I am.
Well, he did buy you a nice hat. But yes, everybody here is a lot better dressed than you.
Yeah, but I've been basic since then.
Yeah, you sort of get there, and you sort of edge your way in. Right near the door, there's a couple of guys. You take them to be Russians. It's really obvious that they're Russians. They've got sort of square beards. One of them's dressed in very great finery. The other one, one of them looks like a nobleman. The other one looks like somebody who's got a relatively large amount of cash and would love to be a nobleman, but isn't really.
Okay.
There's also a woman. Where is it? There's a woman sort of about, it's the mad Scottish woman, who's sat there jutting away violently into a notepad. Further down, however, you see that plain-looking man who's with you since London,
mm-hmm.
sat with, sort of tallish-looking guy, long whitish hair, opera cloak, moustache that twirls up at the side, and they both seem to be talking in great detail. And it takes you a little bit of a while to notice, but standing behind them in the shadows is quite a tall guy in a fez.
Okay.
And they're sort of talking with each other quite in quite
Can I hear exactly what they're saying or?
No, but you could get closer if you like. How stealthy are you feeling in a brightly lit saloon car?
Fairly.
Make me a roll with the penalty die, then.
A penalty die?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Roll of the 10.
Oh, and take
the
highest. 30 or a 0. So...
37, then.
Yeah.
Does that pass?
That's still halving it.
Okay. You sort of sidle into the room, wait for a gap in the conversation when they sort of walk away to receive some more drink and sort of nip into the settled air to them. You hear one of the men go, so, do they have it with them? This is the white-haired guy. Oh, yes, yes, yeah, they've got it with them. It's in the hat box, which is in one of the trunks, but I don't know. Sure you couldn't get closer to have a look. Well, you see, they were keeping quite a good eye on it. And Smith isn't coming. No, he when he went to Pook's house, he was with that Mitzi woman. But he turned up after the others, so they'd already done the business, as it were. Oh, yes. Well, you did good work for me. Do you think they know about the book? I didn't see them until they popped up at Pook's. But I suppose they could have gone down to Rotherhithe first. What?
Plain one.
The very plain guy, yes.
Yeah.
Talking to a guy in an opera cloak with a big twirly villain moustache and long white hair.
He's not someone that we actually met.
No, you saw him on the train
on
the ferry.
Train, but not...
He was with you since Victoria.
Yeah.
You didn't see him any other time. I didn't sort of find them until they got to Pook's. So I followed them after that. I didn't see them go to Rotherhithe. That said, they are connected with that foundation of Smith's, so they might know about the book. It's possible. I think it might be, though. I don't think there's going to be any major problem to your issue, to your plans. No, probably not. It's not as if they can, you know, have a go right here in the middle of a train, is it? No. Plus, they've only got one fez. Well, yes, there is that. Well, they have a little chuckle and go back to just drinking and chatting. Are you going to try and leave before they spot you there?
Yeah.
Okay, another cell check. Again with a penalty die, I'm afraid.
That is a 14 or a 54. That's still a pass.
Okay, yeah, you managed to sneak out again. As you're sneaking out, it's about 11 o'clock at night. You see a woman. Quite a lot of people have left the salon there. You see a woman leave one compartment, walk down a bit, knock on the door to another one, slip inside.
Hello.
Are you going to bed? I assume everybody else has gone to sleep.
Mm.
You're all wrapped up in your bunks.
I shall make sure I lock the door.
Okay. I'm fairly certain everybody's locked their doors, right?
Is there anything we can lean up against the door?
Put something against it.
The lock doors slide?
Yeah.
Because otherwise... Well, no, they don't. That's a later train. They do.
No, but even if they did, then we'd hear the crash as it fell over.
You can lean stuff up against the door then. The problem with this is I can't put bookmarks in these bits of paper.
You need post-it notes.
Well, I've got post-it notes. If I had a book, it would work perfectly.
Alright.
Send me my books.
Or you could put hole punchy holes in all the pieces of paper and put them into a folder.
I've done that. Problem is my cane binder thing isn't big enough to put this many pages in.
Like a LibreArch file.
Possibly. Typical. The bit of paper I need is the bit that's been cut off by the printer. So you're all sort of in bed, sort of snoozing away, enjoying the luxury of blue train. When you hear a sound, sort of midnight. I'll tell you what it sounds like in a second. What fucking entry? It's like... Actually, everybody make me listen, chat.
I'm a 50.
I fail, and the professor got 63, which I'm guessing is not a pass.
Okay. Excellent. I'm trying to find the right. I'm sort of lying there in bed. Lights are all off. And you hear a sort of whistling sound in the corridor outside. Almost as if somebody's opened one of the windows and left it open. And it doesn't really wake up. Coming from one of the compartments further down. It doesn't. And then, who's in the compartment with the fez? The urchin and the Frenchman. Yeah. Cross their door. At which point, we will stop for the night.
Yeah.
How did you find it, all of you?
That was good.
The problem I find with Cthulhu is there's the initial hit, where everybody knows what they're doing because monsters. And then there's the... We've got a load of clues, what the fuck do we do with them stage? And we were kind of in the, we've got all these clues, what the fuck do we do with them? And then you get back onto the, oh, now we understand what's going on and we'll have to try and react to the problems. I really like Henry. I'm totally going to make him into a recurring character.
Just checking, are we incapable of having a Cthulhu game with less than two Henrys?
No.
Okay.
He's Henry with an R.
It's
Henry,
close enough.
Henri.
Close enough. He's a Henry at heart.
Yes, he is a Henry at heart. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I hope our interminable waffling didn't leave you annoyed or frustrated. Hopefully the sound is all right. It looks like it might have evened out a little bit, so hopefully I'll be able to clean it up for you all. If you wish to send us comments or anything, you can send it to thecultofdandice@gmail.com, or you can go to thecultofdandice.net and comment on there. I am at Mordrigan on Twitter, Bloodied is at Bloodied Fox on Twitter, and Archive is ArchiveCTD on Twitter.
Yeah, I got bored of them nagging me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She got bored of us nagging her, so now she has a proper Twitter. Woot! I don't think anybody else has Twitter, do they?
Talking to you two.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly you're just talking
at us. What was I going to say?
Bonk.
Ah, yes. Emily is here! I will take you to your bonk. Bye!
Bye.